When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Season 2 of the 147 Podcast with me, Sports MC Phil Seymour, and him, the reigning Players and Tour Champion and former Champion of the World, the magician, Sean Murphy.
And it's a very warm welcome to the 147 Podcast from sunny Exeter, where I am. Oh, the glamour of this place. Sean, where are you?
Well, I'm in somewhere a little bit further away than Exeter. I'm in Shanghai and very, very pleased to be back after so long away.
How great is that to hear, by the way? Snooker back on mainland China for the first time since COVID, which is, it's huge, isn't it? How's it feel over there, Sean?
Yeah, it's incredible. And I was just chatting to Robbie this morning over coffee, you know, all the stuff that's happened in the world and in our own lives since we were last here. You know, the last time we were here, no one had heard of COVID. Nobody knew what coronavirus was. And since then, obviously, we've all been through what we've all been through. And it just feels an incredibly long time since we were here on one hand. And then on the other hand, it kind of feels as almost nothing's changed.
It goes to show the popularity of snooker in China, though, doesn't it? There's been COVID, there's all that kind of thing. There's obviously been the players that have been banned as well, sadly. And yet we've got, is it four events in China this season now? So it's come back with real force, hasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it really, really has. It really is great. I think a lot of us were worried what was going to happen. Was the game going to open up here? Was it going to come back here at all? You know, a year or so ago, there was talk that, perhaps snooker in China was finished and it maybe wouldn't come back here. I'm so pleased and relieved to see it back, I think. And you know what? I think we've been away for a little while. The early matches here have been really well attended. The crowds have been great. The ticket sales have been really good and really strong. So not that we wanted to have a break from coming here at all, but maybe the break has inadvertently done us a favour. I don't know. It's weird. Yeah,
I've got to say, it's looking cracking as well. I've watched a bit of it on TV over here on Discovery Plus, and it looks brilliant. I mean, the arena looks great. Some of the videos I've seen as well of all the players out there and how they get welcomed is fantastic. It's going to take some getting used to, though, isn't it, as players, as you guys. I saw Neil Robertson tweeted earlier on today, I think, it's taken sort of 3 days for him to acclimatise to it. He's been waking up at all kinds of crazy hours, and he reckons he's just about there. But later in the season, I think it's the Champion of Champions begins the day after a final in China. So you guys are going to have to get used to this again very, very quickly, aren't you?
Yeah, and that's sort of back to a thing we used to talk about all the time about the scheduling and getting from, I can't think where it was now, but it was where the International Championship used to be out here somewhere, maybe Chengdu or somewhere like that. It was somewhere anywhere in China where you couldn't fly directly from that city back to the UK. And so you have to take internal travel in China, which obviously adds on time before you can get your flight back to the UK. And if you're starting another tournament the next day, like, that just doesn't work. And I think World Snooker Tour, they must be praying every day that certain players don't make it to latter stages in certain events, because it would just mess their entire scheduling up. And I think that's partly why perhaps with Champion of Champions and stuff like that, you see a bit more of a, you know, a looser approach to scheduling and information. Because they just don't know when players are going to be available. That's the truth.
It's difficult, isn't it? I mean, it's an absolute nightmare, is that really? From like you say, from a scheduling point of view, that is really, really tough. So let's talk about the last few weeks then. Seems like an eternity ago that you were in Nuremberg, but the Hawk soared to victory. Barry Hawkins winning the European Masters, beating Judd Trump in the final. Great to see Barry in the winner's enclosure, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we've said it a few times about Barry, and lots of people say it. You would never find a person with a bad word to say about Barry Hawkins, and nobody would deny him another victory. And played really well as well, and seems to enjoy sort of that tournament. I think he got to the final last year, lost to Kyron Wilson, and so, you know, seems to sort of, maybe he's a bit of a hard practicer during the summer. Maybe he doesn't take the time off that other players take off, because that's a bit of a pattern. You know, he got back-to-back finals in the same event, same time of the year. Maybe somebody who doesn't take that big a time off. Or maybe he just, you know, had a really good week back-to-back year. So great to see him in the winner's enclosure, as you say. Really nice guy. I think, you know, early signs for a good season are there for Team Hawkins.
Definitely. I'd say good signs for Judd Trump as well. He looks happy at the moment. He looks relaxed. He reached the final there. He's dangerous. He's always dangerous, is Judd, isn't he? But could he go on another run like he did a couple of years ago? Is that possible for a player to string that together again?
I think so. I don't see any reason why not. I think the only thing I would say is that you know, everyone else has got a little bit better as well. Everyone else has improved, and everyone was inspired by that run and that run of events that he went on, winning 11 ranking events in a couple of years. He did seem to be the player of everyone who coped with playing at Milton Keynes during that lockdown period the best. He seemed to just be the one who could get his head round, you know, all of the different loops that we all had to jump through at that time. And he dealt with it the best, and he got the silverware for it. Whether somebody will go back to, you know, dominating the game like that for a prolonged period of time remains to be seen. Of course, back in snooker's halcyon days of the 80s and 90s, it was common for players to win multiple ranking events a season, your Davises and Hendries of the world. And it's become less and less as the standard all round has improved so much. So will he? He definitely can. You know, he definitely has the capability. Will he? Is probably unlikely.
Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly going to be tough. But tell us about Nuremberg then. So you were over there. Obviously, we know you told us how warm it was there while you were there. It was absolutely boiling. The crowds looked decent. How was it as a player over there?
Yeah, it was great. I have to say, yeah, no, the feedback was all good. I think there was, you know, concerns over playing conditions, but that's weather dependent. You know, that's nothing to do with the venue or the table fitters or suppliers or anything else. That's purely weather conditions. And of course, I can hear people out there saying, Sean, weather doesn't affect snooker tables. It does. Take my word for it. You know, extreme weather conditions like extreme heat, extreme cold, damp, they play havoc with snooker tables, the cloth and the balls. And very similar to here this week in Shanghai, which we know we're used to the conditions here. They play what we call heavy, which means it's very hard to spin the ball. It's not necessarily how fast the ball moves around the table. It's how much spin you can apply. So, you know, Barry Hawkins adapted to that the best in Nuremberg. And it'll be interesting to see who adapts to that the best this week in Shanghai.
It's funny, isn't it, how you go from Nuremberg in Germany to Shanghai in China, and the conditions are frighteningly similar.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, as I say, it's extreme. So you walk outside the hotel here, you know, you're wet straight away. The humidity and the temperatures, and, you know, it's very, very similar to how it was in Nuremberg. I remember going to Brazil a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago, actually. And it was the same there. you know, the club, that's the reason why we use table heaters, is because we're used to playing in places like that. Table heaters were brought in when we started playing in Thailand, and it was to dry the cloth out because it actually takes on so much moisture out of the air. It became unusable. So table heaters, you know, are for that reason. But, you know, you're dealing with humidity levels that are seriously, seriously high in this part of the world. And it obviously affects how the balls move around the table. And as I say, it's a question of players adapting their game. You know, if you want to be a global player, if you want to win multiple tournaments around the world, you've got to be able to adapt your game and still spin the ball as you would at the Crucible in Sheffield. So we'll see who deals with that best this week.
Absolutely. So for everyone back here in the UK watching it on TV, on Discovery Plus or Eurosport, just keep that in mind when you're watching it. See if you can spot those kind of things going on. Let's talk about your mate Mark Allen. Now, first of all, Mark's social media has been hacked, all right? Either that or he's now the king of cryptocurrency. One or the other, I'm not sure which, but he's been Bitcoin mining for the United Kingdom and Ireland. No, his social media has been hacked, but before it was hacked, he had a bit of a dig at World Snooker Tour. There was, an advert put out for the English Open, which featured Ronnie O'Sullivan, Luca Brissell and Mark Selby. And Mark Allen went on social media and said, number three in the world, still not getting on posters. Has he got a point or not?
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you that the disappointingly, all the images that are being used here this week are, you know, at least 2 years old. Obviously, a lot's been made, and this is a very personal point of view from my own life, but, you know, a lot's been made in the press about my weight loss surgery that I had, you know, 18 months ago.
Yeah.
And the picture of me here that's in the program and on all of the merchandise is, you know, a good two and a half years old. So you couldn't accuse them of being on the ball, so to speak. It's as if they produced the program 2 years ago and have just ran with it, which is a shame. And I do understand where Mark's coming from, you know, to a certain degree. But I guess it's, you know, it's up to the promoters, isn't it? The promoters, I believe the promoters here in China who promote this event are the same group of people who promote the Formula One out here and the tennis when it's out here. So they do know what they're doing. And I guess they put, you know, the faces on their posters of the people they think are going to sell the most tickets.
Yeah, I mean, well, that one was
as simple as that.
But that one was here. That was the English Open that this one was advertising. But it had Ronnie O'Sullivan, world number one and greatest of all time. I don't even think it's arguably anymore, really. Luca Brissell, world champion, world number two. And Mark Selby, who's the current champion of the English Open. So I've whilst generally I can see Mark's point, and I think in some things, yeah, he has got a point. I think in this instance, I actually don't think he does. I think they've probably used the right three players to sell the event for the English Open. And obviously, you know, Mark Selby's on there as the reigning champion. So it's a bit of a tricky one, but I think what Mark's talking about really is historically, he's been missed off a few things. And he's maybe got a point there. But I do think the more he wins, the more of those things he will be on. But anyway, good luck with the Bitcoin mining, Mark, because you're flying on Instagram at the moment. Wonderful. Right. Since we were last on...
Have you ever been hacked?
No. I've been impersonated. It's
quite worrying, isn't it?
Oh, it's a nightmare.
You know, this isn't an invitation to anyone out there, but I don't think I've ever been hacked. I mean, If I have been hacked, they went in, had a look round and left. They didn't find anything interesting and left. But that must be quite debilitating to have your entire social media hacked and taken from you. I mean,
oh, that's, absolutely, that's pretty bad. This last year, I've had three or four occurrences where people have messaged me and said, is this you? And there's been a new Phil Seymour has popped up on whatever social media platform using my same profile picture, my background picture, and start trying to add people as friends. And unless someone tells you, you're not aware of it. And fair play to the likes of Facebook. When you do report them, they take them down straight away. But it's just a bit weird. But this all comes back to what we've spoken about before, which is social media. Everyone should be verified. everyone should have the tick next to their name. Everyone should be verified. You should have to use your real name, ID to open an account or to have an account, and then it's solid. But I suppose it could still get hacked. But there you go. So yeah, let's hope Mark gets his social media back on so he can start having a go at everyone. Let's face it though, while he's hacked, he's not getting sanctioned by WST for anything, is he? Because he can't say anything wrong.
I have to say, you know, in fairness, there's an argument to be made that whilst he's been hacked, his content's been more interesting.
Ooh, harsh. Hey, he can't have a go at us on socials, can he? So we can say what we like.
So what you like, he can't hit us back.
Well, do you know what? See, you've had a go at him, he'll probably appreciate this one. Wuhan Open qualifiers, Sean. Oh, he's pulling a face. Now, we've talked Ben Mertens up on this podcast. We need to stop doing this, don't we? We need to stop talking these young players up. CJ Hui, Ben Mertens, we need to stop it. He played very, very well, though, didn't he?
Yeah, I've said it a couple of times. It's a nightmare being right, isn't it? I mean, we've talked these young players up for a reason. It's as if, you know, to the casual listener, to the casual bystander, we could kid people into thinking we know what we're talking about. We said he was a good. We said Liam Pullen. We said Stan Mu. And we said Ben Mertens. He played really well. I had no complaints at all. I had a chance to really put the cat amongst the pigeons in the sixth frame. I had a chance to steal the sixth frame. Having made a mistake being 70 points ahead, I had a real chance to steal that and make the score 3-3, which I think would have tested his nerve a little bit. I didn't steal it. It became 4-2 instead, and he just ran into the distance then. He played really, really well. I had nothing but praise for him.
Yeah, he's a really good lad, good family. I think I've told the story before. We were at the shootout in Watford Coliseum. I think he was about 14 at the time. Long, long time ago now. Was he 18 now? 17, 18?
I don't know.
Just pre-COVID. I think it was at the shootout pre-COVID. And Watford Coliseum, Saturday morning, a few of us had met up and gone down to the park there, Cassiobury Park, for the park run. And we'd done the power run. There's me, there was Roddy from World Snooker Tour, and there's someone else. I can't think who else there was. And we're walking back, and there's Ben Mertens and his family stood outside the venue. And this is like 9:30 in the morning, right? And we're like, you're right, Ben. He says, can we get in to practice? I'm like, it's 9:30 in the morning. We don't start till 1:00. And he was that keen to get in there. He had like his second round match, I think it was in the afternoon. And he was there with his cue all ready to go in and practice. 9:30, and we had to explain to him, look, nothing opens till about 11 o'clock. And he was there, and he was just so keen. And then when he got knocked out, he stayed, and he was still playing on the practice tables during like the quarters and semi-finals on the Sunday. And he's a good, good lad. And obviously, you lost him, and they were on open qualifiers, so you're not particularly happy about that. But we do hope for the best for him, don't we? He's a good lad, and he's a grafter.
Yeah. I think... what's the saying that, you know, game respects game, doesn't it? And I think you can watch somebody like a Ben Mertens and you can see there's a lot of good traits in there. There's a lot of good characteristics. He seemed to, you know, for such a young person, he knew his way around the table. I tried to make it difficult for him, as you know, with some good tactical play and safety, and he had all the answers. Yeah, he scored well, he potted well. And as I say, at the end, he was a worthy winner. So that's sport. You know, there's very few sports like snooker where when your opponent's in play, you can do nothing about it. And unfortunately for me and my trip to Wuhan, he got to 5 first. We move on.
Yeah, absolutely we do. Now, that's one young player that we've talked up. Another young player that we've talked up, and you've just mentioned him before, Liam Pullen, and he's had a win in the English Open qualifiers as well. So he will be going to Brentwood. Great to see.
Yeah, really good to see. I'm excited to see how Liam does. Really good to see that with the win there. And as well, I think what came through, we had a quick look at the scores. He played well in that game. He scored well. I think he had 3 or 4 frame-winning breaks to get through that best of 7. Full respect to, as I said, as we've said before, you know, people who are willing to put in the graft and the effort that Liam is, gets up in the morning in York, gets the train to Leeds, practices all day, gets the train home. You know, there's a lot of young players out there who have everything gifted to them on a plate. They don't have to work for anything. They get chauffeured everywhere. They don't really know what it's like to put a proper day's work in, certainly in snooker terms. And here's a lad who's grafting, who's really trying. And this is just the start for Liam Pullen. I'd love to come back in a few years and see where he is, because I think he's going to achieve big things.
Yeah, I think he will as well. I think he'll do very, very well. I think a few people said that with these young players, with the likes of Stan, with Liam, first year on tour, you know, let's not lump pressure on them. You know, we know some of the greatest players there are came on tour, dropped off tour, went back on tour. We've already talked about Neil Robertson. Did you do that? Did you drop off tour?
Same happened to me.
I thought so. So, you know, it doesn't always happen instantly is what I'm saying. So it's great to see Liam get that win. Really, really good. On a personal level, he's a good lad, and it's great to see him get that win. Let's hope he kicks on from here, but, you know, we can't expect these things to be instant. They are very, very young players, and they've got a long, long time ahead of them. Right, let's talk Shanghai then. You are over there for the Shanghai Masters. It is an invitational event. It's not a ranking event, is it? I'm right in thinking. Did it used to be one?
Don't think it's ever been a ranking event, because to my knowledge, the Shanghai Masters, I think, it's always been an invitation event. I think it's always been a reduced field event. Now, there may well be people out there in snookerland that are screaming now, back in the 2007-08 season, it was a full field ranking event. If that's the case, I apologise.
Hey, listen, if you want facts,
now I just forget.
If you want facts, there's other podcasts for that. Okay. If you want nonsense, there's the 147 podcast, and you're at the right place. So
why let the truth get in the way of a good story?
Absolutely. Know? One thing it does do, this event, with it being an invitational event, you do get the best players in the world playing. Okay, it is a reduced field, as Sean said. What you also get is wild cards. So they invite so many local players as wild cards. And this is where Ding started, isn't it? You know, Ding started as a wild card. I think, was it his first game? Did he play Selby? I think they were both teenagers. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, that's ringing a bell somewhere. It might have been, I don't know if it was here or maybe the China Open, but yeah, wild cards have been a thing, certainly in China, and I think it's something the CBSA have insisted on over their years of work with WST. The wild card, and there's absolutely no question that it's worked. Obviously, it drums up local interest and stuff, but these players are playing, you know, throughout the years for these spaces, and they have to win and do well in their own events, and the CBSA pick them, and it's a real honour if you're bestowed one of these wild cards into the event. And as you say, you know, greats of the game, your Dings and Wees, started out as wild cards. It was always the thing when I turned pro and got on the tour and started coming out here. You know, if you got a wild card, it was always seen as a bit of a it was seen as a bit of a free game, really, because, you know, I don't think it's unfair to say they weren't of the highest standard years and years ago. It was like a bit of a free practice session. That's not the case now. They're all very dangerous. You come over here as one of the sort of lower ranked players, you have to play the preliminary round against the wild card. It's not, you know, it's not a given that you're going to get through it. Now, I think all the seeds have got through.
I think they have, yeah. I'm just looking now, actually. I think they have, or they have, in fact. I was going to say something about amateur players, but I won't even go there, Sean. It's too early. It is too early in the morning here in the UK as we're recording this. So just looking at this, now we've said all the top players are there. Looking at some of the games that have come, Kyron Wilson against John Higgins. What a game that could be. Judd Trump, Jack Lizowski, obviously, because those two always play each other. Can Jack beat Judd this time? Can he turn him over?
I mean, he obviously can. He's got the game to. You know, will this be the season? And you know, we'll forget about this being the event. Will this be the season where Jack breaks his duck and gets that first ranking event? You know, it's got to start somewhere, you would think.
It has. It absolutely has. Ronnie O'Sullivan against Ali Carter. There's no history in that one, is there?
Absolutely no history there whatsoever.
Mark Selby, Hussein Vafai. Mark Allen against Fan Zhengji. Fan Zhengji, of course, former European Masters champion, got that experience. He's not been playing as well recently, and we'll see how Mark's doing. Luca Brissell against Mark Williams. That's going to tell us a lot about where Luca's game is at right now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's going to be a real test, that, you know, because Williams, on the quiet, plays very well out in this part of the world. His game and his technique very well suited to this these kind of playing conditions. Luka's had Q trouble, as we know. Who knows where Luka's been since the European Masters? He, you know, he could have been on another round the world trip. Could have been on 4 cruises and 12 flights since then. You wouldn't know. So happy that the world champion's here. That'll be a some game. That'll be some game.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've got Neil Robertson against Ding, which Neil very popular in China. Ding, well, I mean, you don't even need to talk about his popularity over there. To be honest, he is the king of snooker in China, isn't he? And finally, looking at this list, yourself against the Milkman, a rerun of the Welsh Open final of last season.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. Robert came through one of the preliminary matches himself. Looked to be playing well in that game. I think he scored quite well. So, yeah, we played each other a fair bit in the last season or two. And I'm hoping it's a repeat of our match from the Tour Champs, not from the Welsh Open.
Absolutely. So that continues on. You can watch it all on Eurosport and Discovery Plus, of course, as well. Obviously, it is a 7-hour time difference from here to Shanghai. So it's mornings and I think early afternoons. Your game is, we're recording this, by the way, Tuesday morning. It's currently 8 o'clock Tuesday morning in the UK. You play Wednesday night, is that right?
I play tomorrow night, my time, yeah. So it's in the afternoon. Quick word as well, quick plug for my dear friend and snooker, what could we say as well? He's definitely a cult figure. Obviously a very, very good player as well in his own right. Fergal O'Brien begins his commentary career this week with a stint commentating on Eurosport. So good luck, Fergal. And I hope that he really enjoys it. Very few players in the world with the knowledge base that Fergal O'Brien has. So I think it's a role that he'll be very well suited to.
It's quite interesting. I was listening to, I think it was Talking Snooker with Phil and Nick. It could have been Snooker Scene podcast with Dave Hendon. It was one of those. And they were talking about commentary. I think it was Dave, actually. They were talking about commentators and commentary. And they were saying how, you know, there should be commentary on, like, the Wuhan Open qualifiers, because there wasn't any. It was just literally just the pictures and the sound from the venue. And they were saying how, you know, it would be good to get some new blood in there, get some new players. Fergal, for me, he's made for that. Like you said, there's few people more knowledgeable than him in the snooker world. And he's a character as well, isn't he?
Yeah, and he also has a very, very dubious taste in biscuits.
Oh, so go on. You've got to expand on that.
Well, you know, he just throws in some wild cards. So he's very partial. Maybe not biscuits, but chocolate bars. Very partial to a Twirl orange. Now, everybody knows that the original Twirls are where it's at. Drinks more tea than any human being on the planet. So I don't know what Eurosport are paying him, obviously. That's between them and each other. But I hope they've got a great selection of tea. And he will only drink Irish Barry's tea. So, listen, I hope he's negotiated a good rate with them. That's all I'll say, because they'll need it to keep up with his tea demands.
Listen, I've got friends over here in England who are from Ireland and will only drink Barry's tea, despite the fact that some of them live in Yorkshire, which is the home of tea, let's be honest. But they actually get Barry's flown across for them. So it must be good. There's got to be something in that.
Are you tea or coffee?
Oh, I'm a coffee man.
Correct. Like all reasonable people.
Yeah, very much a coffee man. Just talking about Twirls. Sorry. We've got to go off snooker for a second, because it's what we do. Do you remember the Spira?
How old do you think I am, Phil?
Seriously, do you remember this? Is this in your knowledge base or not?
What are you talking about?
Okay, there will be people out there who know what I'm talking about. The Spira was, I think it predates the Twirl. It was a great chocolate bar. There you go. Sorry, it just popped into my head. There you go. If you remember the Spira, get in touch at 147pod on social media. Believe me, it was a cracking chocolate bar, and it's one of those that's just vanished over the years. But there you go.
Was this something that was only available in York?
No, it wasn't. No, there have been a few things like that that have only been available in York. The chocolate raspberry, for instance, as opposed to chocolate orange, was only available in York. Yes, it was a thing. There you go.
Chocolate raspberry.
It was trialled by Terry's, and then they didn't go through with it. Yeah, you're pulling that face. That's why they didn't go through with it. Right, let's share.
It's just wrong.
Let's share a conversation that we had earlier in the week. Now, it's something we've mentioned before, but we want to make a big point of this. This is a very, very open come and get me plea to the makers of Celebrity Hunted, right? I'm not a celebrity, okay? Hands in the air, I'm not. But Sean is. He's a former world champion, reigning tour champion, reigning players champion. We want to be on Celebrity Hunted this year, Sean, don't we?
Well, yeah, I mean, first of all, I detest the tag of celebrity. It's not something I like at all, but I don't think of myself in those terms, but I know what you mean. I would jump at the chance of being on that show. I love it. We've talked about it since the start of this podcast. I think we both think that we would complete the task.
Oh, we would. They wouldn't catch us. There's no way. We're too good at travelling, okay? No one would recognise me anyway, so that's all right. We'd shave your head, get rid of the quiff. No one would recognise you. They'd probably only use the pictures from 2 years ago anyway, and you don't look anything like that now. They just wouldn't catch us. They'd have no chance at all.
I'm half the man I was. I tell you what, and it's a good thing this is an audio service, not a big... Can you see my hair there? It's ridiculous.
Do you know what? That is ridiculous. It is a quiff. I'm tempted to take a picture for social media, actually. It's a quiff and a half. He looks like Morrissey this morning for those people out here. So anyway, Celebrity Hunted, the company that makes that programme, we're available. We're cheap. Let's be honest, Sean, we are cheap. And they won't catch us. We'll get to the final, so you'll get your money's worth as well. So get us
on. Why hasn't anyone on that show just pre-bought a load of gear, a tent, and gone off?
Don't know. Absolutely no idea.
Why do they insist on going to like train stations and bus shelters and places like that and using credit cards and phones? And what is that about?
You see, straight away, we already know what we're doing better than anyone that's already been on there. Get us on the show. You won't catch us. We'll get to the end. We'll raise a load of money for charity. Happy days. Anyway. Thank you for that. We are going to have one of Sean's rants coming up in just a few moments' time after this break.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to the 147 podcast with Sean Murphy and Phil Seymour. If you like what you're listening to, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and be sure to interact with us across all forms of social media at 147pod. That's the words at 147pod. And please do. We're going to have some listener questions coming up very, very shortly from people that have done just that. Contact us on social media at 147pod everywhere and giving us questions, and we will ask as many as we can get in later on today. But Sean, it is time for the very popular... occasionally, section of the podcast that is Sean's rant. Have you got a rant for us today, Sean?
I do have a rant, yeah, and it's an active rant.
Okay, well, you have 1 minute and 47 seconds from the time I say rant to the sound of the klaxon. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
3, 2, 1, rant.
It's very simple, very straightforward, and it's become more apparent as we've started travelling more, as the world's opened up, as everyone started interacting again. People simply not looking where they're going. They've got their eyes buried in their device, in their phone, dawdling around, wandering about, treading on you, barging in. Look where you're going. What is wrong with people? Especially in airports, no urgency. Everyone's just wandering about. Yeah, no, I'll get there. Move faster. Get out of the way. There should be the travelator, a slow lane, and then a fast lane. Get off your phone. Stop checking your barcodes for the seventh time, Mildred. You know where you're going. It's gate 7. It's still gate 7. Get out of the way. Who are these people? They've got nowhere to be, nothing better to do. The rest of us are trying to get to our gate. We might have had one beer too many in the bar, and now we're rushing to get to the back. And you are in my way. It's like when you're in a hurry and you're in the car, you hit every single red light. Every roundabout's busy. It's like the world's got something against you. But people, they're buried into their device. They've got their eyes looking at the phone. They're walking towards you. I don't know what to do anymore. I'm going to start barging into these people. I'm going to start doing the full Ali Carter and dropping the shoulder and walking into them. Am I right? Am I wrong? I don't know. But I'm going to start looking where you're going, mate. Stop walking your trolley over my foot. Sorry, I'm in your way. Maybe if you'd not been looking at your phone, you would have seen me.
Wow. I'm going to go full Ali Carter on them. That's great. You know, it's funny. I messaged you, actually. I was at Stansted Airport week before last, going up to Denmark for a boxing show. And you popped into my head. I got there. I'd messaged you before when I went there about 2 months ago. And I said, this is brilliant. They were trialing these new scanners where you could leave your toiletries in your bag. You could leave your iPads in your bag. You just put it straight through the scanner. Fantastic. So I rocked up there, parked the car up, went in all smug, thinking this is great. I'm just going to chuck my bag on the thing. Get through to security hall. The queues are absolutely enormous. And I mean enormous. And I saw this guy and I said, what's the crack? You know, what's going on? I thought you could just leave everything in your bag. Oh yeah, no, that was just a trial. That trial's finished now. I'm like, what? So the queues are huge. And then I came up with all of your favorite inept airport travelers who hadn't taken anything out of their bag and absolute pain. But afterwards, I got through there, I sat down, I was having some food, and I'm looking and I'm watching people running, like having to run through the airport because they clearly got slowed down by security. If you get to the point where you've got to run through an airport, you're doing something wrong, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
You know, you travel a lot, I travel a bit. If you're at the point where you've actually got to run when you're in an airport, you're doing something wrong. But if you then get the runners and you get the people you're talking about with their head in the phone doing nothing, you've got carnage.
Of course, the airlines don't make it easy on themselves because they issue these empty threats. It's like parents who say they're going to take something off the child if the child doesn't behave themselves, and then they don't do it. They issue final threats, but they issue 10 of them. You know, I was in an airport the other day traveling to Portugal, Ryanair or somebody offered out a final warning. This is the final boarding call for Mr. Jones. The plane's ready to go. Well, they said it 10 times. If they started saying it once, and then if you missed it, you missed it, people would be more on time. Everyone knows you've got, you know, a good few minutes to, sure, I'll be there in a minute and I'll get there when I get there, especially on the continent in the Mediterranean as well. I mean, those of an eagle-eyed persuasion will have noticed I wasn't at the opening ceremony here in China, because I chose to go to my former best friend who passed away, Brandon Parker's daughter's wedding in the Algarve, and represent the family there. And, you know, I felt that was I couldn't miss it. So, you know, I chose to go there. But you're wandering through the airport there, everyone's manana, sure, you know, we'll get there. No one's got any urgency. There are people missing flights left, right and centre. And you'd like, just move faster, just get there quicker, you know, just be more on time.
How hard is it? So do you agree with Sean's rant this week at 147 pod? People dawdling, heads in their phones, do they get in your way? Do they annoy you? Are you one of those people? I'm probably one of those people at times, if I'm completely honest, but I try not to be. Anyway.
You see, if you walked towards me and you had your head buried in your phone and I walked into you, I'm the wrong one, aren't I? I'm in the wrong.
Sean, to be fair, if I didn't see you coming with your hair as it is right now, then I'm massively in the wrong, because you cannot miss that hair. If you stood up, you'd be about 8 foot tall at the moment, and 3 foot of that's hair.
Feeling like the fifth Beatle at the moment.
Is Robbie going to give it a cut for you before you play tomorrow night?
It's not in his job description. Have you seen Robbie's hair?
Well, let's not go there. Anyway, let's get on to some listener questions. Kick us off, Sean.
Well, unfortunately, because of the way we're recording this and I'm using my phone, I'm unable to see the questions.
You can't get the questions right. So I'll have to list the questions off. That's got nothing at all to do with our first correspondent's name being really difficult to pronounce, no?
I swear. I've been trying to get the questions up on my laptop and I can't do it.
Okay, I shall ask the questions then. So first of all, on Facebook, Sigurjon Geirs Finnsvensson on Facebook. Do you know what's happening with the Mark King situation? Now, for anyone that's not aware, Mark King is currently suspended pending an investigation. I've not heard anything. Have you heard anything?
No, I've heard nothing more about it. Right. I would say, you know, everyone's innocent until proven guilty. Yep. And I would say that, from my point of view as a player, and someone who's known Mark for a long, long time, like this is starting to drag a little bit from my perspective. I mean, what are we in now? We're in September. It's 7 months, I think, 7 or 8 months now he's been suspended for. I know WPBSA aren't in the habit of suspending people without due cause, but like this is dragging on now. I mean, you'd want to start seeing a bit of stuff flying about, wouldn't you? Otherwise, if Mark's innocent, and as I say, everyone's innocent until proven guilty, like that's going to be sticky. You've suspended somebody for no reason for months and months and months. They'd want to have their ducks in a row, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I'd expect some news on it very, very soon. Like you say, it has been a while now. I would expect some news on it very soon. Obviously, they've been very busy with everything else that's been going on. But yeah, you're right. You know, it's one of those things. It needs resolving, and I'm pretty sure there will be. Will be news on that pretty soon. As we said with the Chinese players earlier in the year, we hope they're innocent. You know, we hoped they were innocent. We hope Mark King is innocent of what he's been charged with or what he's been alleged to have done. We just don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Okay, Niall Greenfield on Facebook. He's got a few. Niall, you're just greedy. but he's a good correspondent and a regular listener, so let's be nice to him. Sean, what is your favourite shot of all time? I.e. Higgins blue, Ronnie's left-handed last red of a 147. Phil, has there been a match you've announced that stands out as your favourite? And finally, and the one we'll address first, cats or dogs?
Oh, dogs.
Dogs, yeah, agreed. So, favourite shot of all time, Sean?
Goodness me, it's very, very difficult, that, isn't it? What a question. There's so many to choose from. Favourite shot of all time. Do you know, and I'm going to go there. I'm going to name one of my own.
Well, I thought you might do that. I mean, that was the most predictable thing in the world, wasn't it?
Oh. It's not the one from the Welsh Open last year. I'm going to call the red over the middle pocket at the World Championships against the Rocket. How many years ago is it? I don't know. 5, 6 years ago, something like that. Side cushion, back cushion, side cushion again. Clip the red in over the middle pocket. Everyone's seen it. There are people, right, in the Amazon who are undiscovered tribes people. And they've seen this shot.
And they still talk about it now.
And they still talk about it now. That's the best shot of all time. I think all civilized people agree that's the best shot ever seen.
So there you go. So that's Sean's favorite shot of all time. Predictably, it has to be one of his own. And then for me, has there been a match I've announced that stands out as my favorite? Yes, absolutely. Easy one, this. Dead easy. Champion of Champions 2019.
Is that one of mine as well?
No, it's not one of yours. Hence, it's my favorite. No, because it's a final, Sean. 2019 Champion of Champions final, Neil Robertson beating Judd Trump 10-9 in what was, just even if I hadn't been there, just as a sports fan, that was an absolute cracker of a game. Amazing game, had everything, centuries galore, both players just in stunning form, really, really at their best. And yeah, deciding frame over in Coventry. Yeah, what a game, what a night, what a final. Incredible stuff. So 2019 Champions final for me, Neil Robertson, Judd Trump. Sean's favourite shot of all time. Just tell us again, it was against Ronnie O'Sullivan at the Crucible 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, it was probably more, maybe 5, 6 years ago, something like that. Bit of a trick shot, off three cushions, clipped the red in. and widely accepted by all civilized people to be the best shot of all time.
There you go. Okay, right. Ricky Stone on Twitter. This is a funny one. This. Why a World Snooker Tour so behind when it comes to things like women's snooker and a snooker streaming service like Netflix? I'll address the second one first of all. The snooker streaming service. Ricky, I disagree massively with you there. Discovery Plus, for those that have got it, and I know you've got to pay for it, but you've also got to pay for Netflix and everything else. Discovery Plus shows pretty much every shot of pretty much every game. You know, it's, there's not a lot. I mean, it's only the ITV tournaments that aren't on there. Even the BBC events are on Eurosport and Discovery Plus. Qualifiers tend to get shown on Discovery Plus. So I've got to say, as a sport generally, the TV coverage we get is phenomenal. I can't think of another sport that gets TV coverage actually quite as thorough and comprehensive as ours do. And yes, I caveat that with the fact that, yes, you have got to pay for it, but you pay for the BBC, remember, with a license fee. You pay for Sky, you pay for all these different channels. So I think from a streaming service or a broadcasting perspective, I really don't think snooker's behind at all. In fact, if anything, I think it's ahead. I think there's maybe only possibly cycling, because I think Eurosport Discovery Plus cover an awful lot of cycling. I mean, they cover some really bizarre cycling events. Women's snooker, Sean?
Well, I just want to just add something to what you just said there, because I agree, strangely, I agree with everything you just said. But it also highlights something I actually wanted to address. I just hear these phrases bandied around, you know, when we talk about free to air, and there's always the comparison between today's, you know, productions and the good old days of free to air television. In fact, you know, what we would have, you know, us oldies would have classed terrestrial TV as free to air. But of course, everyone pays a license fee. So it's not free, is it? Why do we refer to it as free to air television when it costs £160 a year or whatever the license fee is? Why does everyone do that? I don't understand that.
I don't know, I don't get it. But I do think, like I say, coverage wise, we're absolutely blessed. You know, we've got so much TV coverage of snooker. It's fantastic. So I really don't take that point, Ricky, at all. When it comes to women's snooker, I think women's sport in general is exploding. We know that, you know, it's really risen to prominence in the last few years, obviously with the Lionesses in the football, women's rugby. You know, it's all growing as it should do at a great rate. And I think women's snooker is as well. Yeah, it might be slightly behind, but there's maybe an argument to say that the quality is slightly behind as well. But there's been a recent tournament over at Ox Billiards in Seattle. You know, another one over there, which is great. They seem to do great service to it over there, actually, in the States, which is fantastic. We've got women on the main tour now, as well as having the women's events as well. It maybe is slightly behind some other sports, but I do think it's getting there, Sean.
Yeah, it is getting there. It is behind. You know, let's have our cards on the table. It's not where it should be. You know, you can look at other leading sports around the world to know that we're, you know, ladies snooker isn't where it ought to be. It ought to be further up. But you know what we need? You know, all the other things we need as well. But we need other companies and other sponsors and businesses to step in and make it happen. You know, WPBSA do the best they can. The World Ladies operates under the WSF and WPBSA umbrella. It's got nothing to do with WST. That's very clearly, Barry's been very clear about that since its inception, but that is to do with the Pro Tour only. So it has nothing to do with that or any of its funding. I'm going to blow my own trumpet for a minute, which, you know, despite my comments a few minutes ago, I actually do very rarely. Myself.
Sorry, just a little cough there.
Modest as well. Myself and Mukesh Palmer, who's a former professional player himself and owner of the Winchester Club in Leicester, have put our own hands in our own pockets and have backed and sponsored some new ladies' events on the EPSB Tour to try and stir up and create more events and more opportunities. Now, you know, this isn't life-changing amounts of money at all. But we're trying, and we're trying to create opportunities and drum up and get it going and do things, obviously, along together with the ladies' governing body. And what they do makes ours pales into insignificance compared to what they're doing. But we're trying.
Yeah, absolutely. And it,
as and I mean, we need other people to try as well. You know, if we had the same investment and interest that other sports have, then the ladies' game would be a lot further on. I was actually talking to somebody about this or a similar case just the other day. It is an absolute disgrace that Rhiann Evans, MBE, could pretty much walk down any high street in the UK in complete anonymity. Can you name me any British single player female sports person who's achieved more in their field than Rhiann Evans?
Do you know what then, Sean? I'm going to throw something at you here because this is something I've been talking about recently. Athletics World Championship the other week, the 1500 metres was won by a British runner, okay? There was the World Championships last year, which was delayed because of COVID. The 1500 metres at that was also won by a British runner, okay? Different runner. Name me either of those two runners.
Couldn't do it.
You couldn't do
it?
Don't
know.
Now, okay, I'm slightly older than you, but when I was a kid, Steve Cram, Steve Avett, Sebastian Coe, household names, household faces, yeah, anyone would recognise them. In the last 2 years, we've had two 1500 metre, which is a blue ribbon event. You know, it's a big event, the 1500 metres. We've had two British world champions, and you can't name them, let alone recognise them. This isn't just a snooker thing. This is the way the world's changing, sadly. I agree with what you say about Rhiann. I do agree with what you say about Rhiann. The same could actually be said, though, about many male snooker players who could walk down the
street. So is the world of sport or is the world in general getting more misogynistic or less?
I don't think it's misogyny, this. I think this is just the way the world's going. I think kids recognise Gemma Collins, they recognise Joey Essex, they recognise that Andrew Tate fella. They wouldn't recognise Barry Hawkins. And I had this discussion with someone the other day that, sorry, this is getting a bit deep, this isn't it, for us. I think social media and reality TV and that kind of thing, it's changing the world, and it's giving particularly young people maybe not such great role models to look up to. You know, when I was a kid, I looked up to the likes of Steve Cram, Steve Ovett, Seb Coe, people like that. Stephen Hendry, Steve Davis, you know, players like that. You looked up to those. Now people are looking up to KSI, they're looking up to Logan Paul. And I don't think it's great, if I'm honest. I agree with you. You know, Rhiann Evans, she's won the Women's World Championship 183 times now. And she should be recognised. She should be on Question of Sport regularly. She should be on different panel shows.
I'm going to put this out there to our listeners. Get in touch with us on all our social platforms. If you can name me any British single female sports person, not someone on a team, not a footballer, not a hockey player, someone who's playing for themselves, who's achieved more in their field than Rhiann Evans, I'll eat my hat.
Yeah.
Because it is, you know, which I think she's a 12 or 13-time world champion. That's one event. Absolutely dominated. How many other events has she won? Loads. Name me, guys, and everyone listening, name me one female sports person who's achieved more than Rhiann Evans in their field. It is a disgrace how little public attention she gets. She should be on the front cover of Mike. She should be on the shows. She should be on This Morning. She should be front and centre everywhere. And she's not.
No, absolutely. I agree completely. And listen, like as we said, women's sport is massively on the up. I was in Denmark the other week for a women's world title unification boxing bout. You know, it is massively on the up, as it should be. You know, let's be honest, it's ridiculous. It should be on the up, and hopefully you know, we will see it continue to progress. There you go. Okay, Ricky, I hope we've answered your questions. Prada Darling on Twitter, here we are. Now we're getting to the crux of things, from serious stuff to even more serious stuff. Where is the most expensive pint of beer on the tour? How much is it and where?
Goodness. Funny enough, about this morning, about some of our regular haunts in Shanghai that might not be here anymore. Somebody spoke about one of the old bars we used to go to, where a pint of Guinness was described at being £8 or £9 a pint.
What? £8 or £9 for a pint of Guinness?
Now, you being half Yorkshire and half Scottish need to step away from this conversation. You could collapse whilst we talk about it.
Well, I was going to say, that actually hurts inside hearing that. That actually hurts. Jeez, that's horrendous. I spend a lot of time in hotels, and hotel beer prices have got ridiculous. I mean, it's obscene what you pay nowadays. So can anyone top that, £8 or £9 for a pint of Guinness? I mean, that's pretty extreme, I'd suggest. That's pretty bad. So does anyone know better? You know, one thing I would say, and this was hilarious, I'm not naming any names here, but there are people that work behind the scenes in snooker who, it's fair to say, Sean, like a drink. I think you can back me up on that one.
That's fair.
When we were in Milton Keynes during lockdown, I remember pulling up in the car park, and then you go in, have your COVID test. And as I pulled up, there was an unnamed member of the World Snooker Tour team with one of those trolley things with stacks of beer, just slabs of beer, loading them from his boot onto it. Because they were going there, bear in mind, for weeks and weeks at a time. And there was no bars open or anything. And he was loading them onto this trolley. And I'm thinking, how much beer is he taking in there? And I had a chat with him. And he said to me, he said, Phil, he said, the great thing is we're actually saving a fortune because we're not paying bar prices. We're paying off license prices and still being able to drink. And I'm thinking, that's so bad. I'm not saying there's a drinking culture in snooker, but there's a drinking culture in snooker. Moving on.
It certainly makes sense of a lot of those strange decisions that came out of WST years ago, doesn't it?
Ash Dawson on Twitter, what's the difference in reception you receive from the Chinese fans compared to elsewhere? One current pro's father has described it as pop star treatment. Now, you mentioned you weren't there for the launch event this time, but what is it like?
Well, I've always described it as an insight into what snooker must have been like during the 80s. Again, we were talking about those halcyon days where Steve Davis was the highest paid sports person in Britain during the 80s. You know, snooker was front and centre, and the rock star treatment with Jimmy and friends with the Rolling Stones and all that. And it's the closest you can imagine it being like that when you're out here. It really is. They are fanatical about their snooker out here. You know, I wasn't at the opening ceremony, but you know, when we arrived at the hotel last night, literally put one foot on the ground outside and you are mobbed outside the hotel. Now, that's just, I mean, it was a bit of a shock because we haven't been here for 3 or 4 years, but very quickly back, you know, I hadn't even checked into the hotel and I must have signed 50 programs, 100 queues, lots of sets of balls, you know, and all of that. I've not even made it to the check-in desk by that stage. So it really is, it's certainly different than, that doesn't happen at the Morningside Arena in Leicester for a qualifier in the dark, I can tell you that. But it is different. It's very different to the UK. But probably similar to what, as I say, the Jimmys and Alex Higginses and people like that probably experienced in the 80s.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine it is. Now, we're going to finish the questions there. Don Smith or Smythe, Valley's Commando, Solid 147, Jakey Squid, great name, Jakey Squid, Tom Cusack or Cusack, we will get your questions in on the next podcast. I absolutely promise. If you've got a question for myself or Sean, as proved, it can be on absolutely anything. And we will tackle the more serious issues as well as the price of beer and chocolate bars and things like that. Get in touch with us at 147pod across all forms of social media. We will always answer as many as we possibly can. But we are coming to the hour, so it's time for our pointless question, Sean. And I've got to say, I think this is a great one. Okay, this is a regular thing, our pointless question. The pointless question for today's podcast, Sean, Would you rather eat a live worm or be locked in a room with a tarantula for 1 hour, but you don't know where the tarantula is?
Can I dip the worm in any form of sauce?
Oh, I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't expecting a question. Yes.
Great. It's the worm.
Oh, okay. What sauce were you using?
And do you know what? Even if you'd said no sauce, it's still the worm. Forget it. I'm not being in the room with a tarantula. Absolutely no chance.
It's you? It's spider season, isn't it?
It's coming into spider season
and they are everywhere at the moment. Yeah, I'd go with the worm. Yeah, absolutely. And if I'm allowed sauce, then absolutely. Yeah, a bit of peri-peri on that. Bad boy. It's going straight down.
And in terms of peri-peri, I reckon you're one of those people who pretends to like the super hot one.
Do you know what?
You strike me as the type of man who goes into an Indian restaurant and orders. You say to the waiter, "What's your hottest curry?" That's who you are, isn't it? You're the "What's your hottest curry?" And they say, "No, sir. No, sir. You don't want that." You say, "No, I want that one times 10.
I'm actually not. Okay, but
that's who you are.
I'm actually not, but my son Elliot, my 16-year-old son, he's going to laugh at this when he hears this, because I'm in Exeter right now, and quite a few years ago he likes his really spicy food. Okay, so when we go to Nando's, I have it medium, he has it hot. We were in Exeter and I went on to Cornwall. We had a stop off here at a hotel, went out into Exeter, and we went to Nando's, and he ordered the chicken hot, but he was still at an age where I had to cut it off the bone for him. Yeah, so it'd arrive, I'd cut the chicken off the bone for him and then give him the plate. While I'm cutting his chicken, I put my fork in, cutting away, the fork flicks out and some of the Nando's hot sauce went straight into my eye. Right, you do not know pain. Until you've had Nando's hot sauce in your eye, you do not know pain. He was laughing his socks off at me. I was in absolute screaming agony. Straight into my eye, this Nando's hot sauce went. And, oh, good Lord, it was horrendous. I'm running around this thing. I'm trying to get water into my eye. So, no, I'm not. He is. He loves his spicy food, loves all that. I like spicy food. Don't like it overly spicy. So I'm not one of those people. So there we go. We're both going with a live worm. And I think justifiably so as well. What would you do? Live worm or be locked in a room with a tarantula for an hour, but you don't know where it is? We're both going with the live worm. Sean, all that is left for me to say is good luck. Rob Milkins.
Thank you very much.
Rob Milkins tomorrow, 8 o'clock your time, which I think is 1 o'clock our time here. So it'll be on Wednesday afternoon on Eurosport Discovery Plus, one or both or all of those. I think if you win that, do you go on to face the winner of Luca Brasil, Mark Williams?
Absolutely no idea.
I think you do, which is...
I've reached the stage and age of my career now where I actually look forward to the surprise. I'd rather not know. I'm walking into the arena and, oh, it's you. Right, let's go.
It's all big names over there. It's all big names. So it's going to be great, however it is. So yeah, all the best for that, Sean. We will be back in a couple of weeks' time. But in the meantime, get in touch with us at 147pod across all forms of social media. We'll see you again soon. Sean, goodbye.
Bye, Tien.
That was the 147 podcast with Sean Murphy and Phil Seymour. If you enjoyed what you've just listened to, make sure you subscribe, leave us a review, and interact with us across all forms of social media at 147pod. That's all words at 147pod. Thanks for listening.